Golf Smarter number 615 is brought to you by Flavier. Let Flavier make your home bar the best bar in town with the world's largest online club that allows members to enjoy and learn about fine spirits. And stay tuned for the end of this episode to hear if you have won one of the two Swing Coach clubs and video review sessions with Dean Reinmuth. And submit your question or concern about your game to our toll-free number at 415-761-1498 to have a chance to receive a free copy of Tony Manzoni's DVD, The Lost Fundamental. Now, let's go outside to the finishing hole at Indian Springs Golf Course in La Quinta for today's interview. Here's the first thing an instructor sees wrong with your golf swing with Gary Hopkins.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Gary.
Well, thank you, Fred.
Thank you for joining me here. We're standing above the 18th green here at Indian Springs in Palm Desert, Palm Springs.
In La Quinta, California.
La Quinta, California.
Might even be Indio because the roads right here could be Indio or La Quinta. But isn't this great? Gorgeous place.
Gorgeous place. I played the course this morning. It's a nice course. It's not taxing. No, but you better know how to hit the ball straight.
Yeah, it's pretty player friendly.
Yes.
And in great shape. And it always is. The greens are some of the best in the desert at Indian Springs, and have been for a few years now. So it's fun to play.
It's a really nice course. Palm Springs, La Quinta, Palm Desert, the valley down here, it's golf mecca. I mean, how many golf courses are there?
Well, I came to the desert in 1967 when I got out of the service. And we had 16 golf courses.
Right.
Now, the last count I remember was 129.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you could get about anything that you want in the desert when it comes to golf.
Yeah, you really can.
Yeah, and most of them are in great shape. And Indian Springs leads the way in being in good shape. They're right up there with the best courses in the desert.
Phenomenal. So tell me how you ended up in the Palm Desert area, because you just mentioned a moment ago that you're from Wyoming.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable, but I was in the Army. I got drafted, and I was at Fort Hood, Texas, during Vietnam.
My dad was there just before World War II.
And I worked at the golf course.
Got married. Oh, did you really?
And Orville Moody was my sergeant before he got out of the Army, so...
Was that the beginning of when you started playing golf?
No, I started in Wyoming. I started playing at about 11 or 12 years old on sand greens, 9 holes of sand greens. And then this little course, Lander, Wyoming, great little place. I go back there in the summertime. I just love it, great people. They finally got 18 holes of golf, which they've had for a few years. But the 9-hole sand greens... Then they decided in about 1960, 59, 60, somewhere in there, that they wanted grass greens. So they didn't have the money to build 9-hole grass greens, so they built 3 grass greens with 3 different tees. Well, the first weekend, it was chaos. This is my tee. Well, what hole are you? You know. So they decided to put in 2 sand greens, so they had 5 holes. Now that loosened it up a little bit. So it was the only golf course for about 5 years in the world that had 3 grass greens and 2 sand greens and 5 hole golf course. and then they put 2 more grass greens on where the sand greens were, and they had a 5 hole golf course for quite a few years.
Wow.
And then they went up and expanded and they built 9. And then in the early 90s or middle 90s now, they built 18 holes. And they have really a nice little challenging golf course, 18 holes there. But I love to go back in the summertime, and some of the old guys that were there, you know, now I'm one of those old guys. Yeah. I was 12 years old, and now, I don't know, but it passed pretty quickly, I'll tell you that. So, I started playing and then wound up in service and, worked at the golf course for a year and a half, and started finding out what golf was really about, even though I did win the high school championship in Wyoming one year when you could shoot a couple 80s, win a state championship. But, you know, it's still one of my better memories in golf.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, in 62.
Playing in high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we were the first high school team, first team that Lander I had. And then the first year, and then the second year, I won the state championship. So now I go back and I help with the golf program, had for quite a few years in the summertime. And then I set up a little scholarship tournament. So we had a tournament every year. And so the kids that graduate that reach a certain criteria as far as grades and how much golf they played, then they get a little scholarship out of the fund. So yeah, it's been great and helping the kids, and go back in the summertime and, you know, these kids are 16, 17, or 18. Now they're 32 or 33 and walk up and, hey, Gary, how you doing? I mean, wow. Jesus, I don't know. You know, and they got two kids or three kids.
So right.
It's a great experience. Yeah, and I just love the place. It's
That's
really
great.
A nice place.
That's
yeah.
great. So when you got out of the service, what happened to your, what happened with golf at that point?
I wound up here in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I, Davey, who's part of it, Davey Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Davey was working
just
at
last week,
at La Quinta Country Club, and I was supposed to have a job in Scottsdale, but they couldn't use me for a couple of months until the season got started. Well, they didn't tell me that when I talked to them, so I had to find a job. So I'd heard of Palm Springs, and so I said, "Well, I'm going to Palm Springs, see if I can find a job." Well, the last call I made was La Quinta Country Club that day, and I was headed back to Wyoming. And they gave me, I started working the cart barn, and 50 years later, I'm still here.
You're out of the cart barn.
Yeah, I'm out of the
cart
barn.
You're out of the cart barn.
And then I wound up, in the spring of 68, I wound up in Chicago as a teaching pro. I got hired as a teaching pro.
That was an interesting time to be in Chicago.
Yeah, and I was there for 20 years. So I went back for one summer and stayed for 20 years. But in the interim, we usually came back here and spent our winters in the desert. Those jobs there were 7 months, and then we'd come back to the desert. And so,
you've always been a teaching professional?
Yes, club pro teaching pro. Yeah, and I've played.
And did you play competitively as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was. At my level, I was very competitive in Illinois, in Chicago area. 2 years, I won their section championship, was player of the year, you know, won a few tournaments. And then every year I'd qualify for a tour event. I probably played in, two PGA championships.
Really?
And then I qualified for U.S. Open. Made
Where?
The cut, and I played at the Southern Hills. In the U.S. Open, and I played at Tanglewood and Firestone in the PGA Championship, and I made the cut at Tanglewood. So, as far as playing go, that's kind of my highlight. But
you made the cut.
Yeah.
You see, it's like
today you don't think about that. But.
Yeah, I mean, you hear about guys who played for 20 years in the tour, and they only won four times. It's like, you won four times on the tour? Are you kidding? It's like, over 20 years, that's not that much. But you made the cut.
Yeah, as a club, as a club pro, I'm teaching right up till I get on a plane and go to Tanglewood. So, my expectations were nothing.
Sure. That's always good for your round.
Oh, yeah, and then we get out and I played one practice round, and the next day I think par was 71. I want to say I shot 73, a couple over. It might have been 70. I can't remember. A long time ago now. And then the next day I missed a birdie putt in last hole. Thought I'd missed a cut. My wife and I were making plans. We were getting ready to catch plane back to Chicago, and somebody came in the restaurant, and I heard him say, I think it was 145. Somebody did something, and 145 made the cut, and I said, you sure 145 made the cut? Because when I left the golf course, 145 wasn't in.
Yeah.
I said, uh-oh.
You're in.
Yeah, we're in.
Cancel
so
the flight.
Yeah, so we canceled flight, played. So, those little things when you're a club pro are, kind of highlights of the career, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's exciting. Something to talk about.
And in the Western Open, which is a Chicago event, and played there for years at Butler, and seemed like about every other year I qualified for the for the Western Open, but playing at Butler as a club pro and at my level, that was pretty tough duty. But I did make the cut there 1 year, too.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's, you know. So
good for you.
Fun. Yeah,
good for you. So now the Golf Smarter audience is very familiar with Tony Manzoni. He's a regular.
Yeah,
here.
Tony's a terrific guy and great teacher.
He's a terrific guy and a great teacher. Yeah. He's so articulate, and he's got this ability to make it so easy.
See you. Okay, good.
Thank you. He makes it so easy to understand what you're trying to accomplish. Like just now, I was just showing him something, and I'm struggling with my right hand, bringing my right hand back because I push with my left and I roll over instead of. And he goes, "No, you just." And it's a little move. He says, "Just start with your hips," and that brings you right. It's like, "Oh my God, that's so simple." Yeah. But so you and Davey Evans, who was just on the show, and Tony Manzoni, the three of you have been teaching and probably playing together a lot, but teaching here in the desert for a long time.
Yeah, 50. I've been here 50 years. I think Tony's been here. Davey's been here longer than 50 years.
Wow.
So that tells you something.
So, but you guys have a lot of teaching experiences.
I build a driving range not too far from here, about two blocks from beautiful Indian Springs Country Club, and had it for 11 years, and Davey and I were the teachers over there. And I don't know how many lessons we gave, but we gave a ton of lessons.
A lot of lessons.
Yeah. We had it from 89 to 90. And then fortunately for me, I sold it to a developer. So.
Oh, good.
But I have no idea how many lessons we gave, but we were out there from sun up to sundown for
trying to pay the rent.
Yeah, for 11 years.
Yeah.
It was great.
What is it? There's a lot of people who live in the Palm Springs area in the valley here. Is it the Coachella Valley?
Coachella Valley.
Coachella Valley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's also a destination.
Oh, absolutely.
A destination for golf, especially.
Yeah, you get for golf and sunshine.
Golf and sunshine. Here we are. We're recording this now, and it's almost December 1st. Yeah. It's 70 degrees. There's light wispy clouds. And I'm wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt.
It's cooled off 10 degrees because it was in the 80s last week. So.
Yeah, when I first arrived a couple days ago. it was in the upper 80s.
Yeah.
And this is just spectacular golf weather all year round. And you guys are going to be doing some clinics. These clinics that we've been talking about that are really amazing. You guys are going to be teaming up, the three of you, to do short game and full swing clinics for $75. This blows my mind. $75 for an hour and a half, and only nine people maximum in your clinic.
So we'll each have three people, and so we'll move them from station to station, and probably we'll alternate. Tony might have full swing or woods and irons, and then we'll have short game, and then we'll work on somebody with the irons and somebody with the woods. And it's not an introduction to golf, but if you take a lesson at some clubs down here, it's $250 an hour if you want somebody to take a look at your golf swing. And probably the average price for a hour golf lesson is $150. We've been doing this for forever between the three of us. So we feel that, we can give a price point where we can help some people. And the other thing we want to do is get Indian Springs a little bit of publicity, too. So people come out.
They have a really nice practice facility.
Oh, yeah, and just great people in this club and this restaurant. I mean,
the restaurant's outrageous.
And they have a great little short game area here where we can teach. You got the bunkers and, the putting green.
Yeah.
So it'll be terrific.
Tell me what your specialty is in teaching. What do you like to focus on?
Well, I'm just kind of I've been teaching for so long that, I don't really specialize in anything, but I think trying to look at somebody and talk to them a little bit and then have them hit some balls, and then I get a little better idea of what I think their abilities are and where we can help them. And, you don't want to overestimate how good you think somebody is or how poor you think they are. You want to try to move them a step forward each time. Or somebody that's played for a long time and has had very few golf lessons and maybe just a little grip change or a little stance change or a little ball position or something like that can make a world of difference in them. Not get them too tied up in all the theory that everybody talks about. If you want theory, the Golf Channel has all the theory you want. You want a little practical help with your golf game? Yeah, probably Davey and Tony and I are the people to come and see.
I like that. Let's take a short break and we'll be right back. When people come down and they seek you guys out for a lesson or a clinic, just touch-up stuff, and you're saying you're not, it's not beginning golfers, but these are people, do you have the kind that it's like, oh, I'm playing in a company outing this week, I need a lesson. I haven't played in 6 months, and they want an hour of your time. What do you do about that?
Well, first of all, you're not going to have, you know, in an hour, you're not going to change.
But this is what people are. Isn't that how most people come in and ask for?
You know, it's like, at my driving range one day, I had a lady standing out, and I used to have the balls out in front of the pro shop. And I was in the pro shop, and I was doing something. I saw this lady out, and she was looking at my balls. I had three different size baskets out there. Mm-hmm. She must have stood there for about 10 minutes, and I thought, geez, I wonder what's wrong. So I walked out, and I said, may I help you? And she says, well, I'm trying to figure out something. I said, can I help you with anything? What you're trying to figure out? And she says, well, I have to learn to play golf today, so I was wondering what size bucket I should get. I said, well, you'll probably need a large bucket if you're going to learn to play golf today.
So, that happened a lot. Yeah.
No, but like, that was a circumstance. But people do come. Yeah. I don't want to make light of everything, but I had a guy.
Please do.
I had a guy in Chicago come for a golf lesson. He called me on the phone, said you need a golf lesson. And so I said, okay, well, what about tomorrow morning in Chicago? It can rain cats and dogs, and man, the rain's coming down sideways, and I'm in the pro shop, and here comes a guy running in with a suit with a club. And he said, I'm here for a golf lesson. I said, you're here for the golf lesson? I said,
wearing a suit?
Yeah, a suit.
And he's holding one club.
He's carrying one club. I said, you want the golf lesson? You're so-and-so one? He said, yeah, I need the golf lesson. I said, okay. So I said, you want to borrow a rain suit? No, he said, I'm fine. So I put my rain suit on. I mean, so we go out to the range. And I said, you played? Oh, yeah, I've played golf. I said, okay. So I put some balls down. He had these 5-iron. I said, okay, hit a ball for me. And he stood up there and he took a swing. He missed the ball. His feet went out from under him. He did a pirouette and landed flat on his back.
Oh, no.
And after I stopped laughing, I got up and I said, dude, you've never hit a golf ball in your life, have you? And he said, no, I haven't. I said, why would you want to take a golf lesson in the rain and you've never played? He said, because we have a company outing tomorrow and I've been telling them how good I could play.
Oh, my.
And I told him, I'll tell you what, I think tomorrow you should take a sick day. you get everybody in. And you know, a lot of people, they don't expect to be a superstar, but, you know, they want to have some idea, you know, how to hit the ball, and if they're doing something wrong, you know, give them an idea of what they have to do, you know, change to get a little better.
I've done some really stupid things in my golf game. When I got to a point where I was playing my best golf, I went and took a lesson. And it was like, why did I do that? If I'm playing the best golf, I'm playing with confidence. I got myself down to a single digit, which it was never the goal. It was just kind of, oh, wow, that's pretty awesome that happened. Because I never anticipated being a good golfer, you know. And then I went and took a lesson and just, it messed, why did I do, it's it really messed everything up.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you another story. So a few years ago, I had a gal come over. She wanted a golf lesson. She had been referred by one of the gals that I teach. She came over and she had a very unorthodox swing. But every time she hit the ball, she hit it in the middle of the club face, and it went in the direction that she wanted it to go in.
Okay.
And so I usually run people up through their clubs, hit a few wedges, and then we'll hit a few middle, you know, we work up. And she hit the ball solid almost every time. And I said, now, why do you want a golf lesson? She said, because all of my girlfriends tell me I have a funny looking swing. And I said, do you beat them? Oh yeah, I beat all of them. Now, I can make you have a pretty swing. You're going to have to spend about a month with me, yeah. And we're going to do this and this, and then I can't guarantee you that this pretty swing is going to hit the ball better than the swing you have. I said, if I were you, I would just take that swing you have and keep playing. And she said, oh, thank you. She said, what do I owe you? I said, you just owe me nothing. Just go keep that swing and go play golf with it. So, yeah. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you get. And if I would have tried to change her golf swing, she'd have been the most unhappy girl in the world.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's what it's like.
I used to take lessons from Jack Grout, Nicholas's teacher. Mm-hmm. Geez, I was playing really good one summer. You know, at my level, I was winning and I was qualifying and I was playing well. And then I started to play bad and I thought, geez, I need a lesson. So I called Jack Grout. He was at Muirfield. And I said, Jack, I need a lesson. He says, Gary, when you come in? I said, I'm going to come in on Monday. He said, okay. He said, I'll have somebody out there and pick you up. And he did. And so I got there and we went down to the range and I hit about 15 balls. And Jack says, Gary, now hit a couple of woods, hit a couple of irons. He said, geez, you got the ball way out in front there. He said, move the ball back a little bit. He said, come on, let's go have lunch and we'll get you. What time's that flight? And I played well the rest of the summer. Not everything is that easy to fix, but
it's a little adjustment.
Yeah, but yeah, it was, it got so far up, and then, I was moving on it and throwing the club head at the ball, and club was bottoming out before it got the ball, and I just moved it back, and all of a sudden, and I played pretty well the rest of the summer. So
amazing.
Sometimes it's not always, some big change that you have to make to play better golf.
Right. So what's the first thing you look for when you're watching a student for the first time? What is the first thing that you'll notice or you'll look for?
Usually take a look at the grip.
Okay.
That's usually the first thing. And then when they set up to the ball, do they have any balance at all? Are they leaning right or forward and check their posture? And then I usually have them take a few swings with all their, hit a few balls with all their clubs to see if they swing their woods differently than they swing their woods and what kind of, and then I'll ask them, if you miss it, do you hit it right or left or high or low? And then you get a pretty good idea of what's going on.
Yeah. And does ball flight, do you look at the ball flight? Is that,
well, usually the grip and ball position and
it's going to dictate the flight.
Yeah. It's going to dictate your ball flight.
Oh,
so if I see somebody, I hit it low left all the time, then you're going to look. And sometimes it's the old strong left hand or the right hand's under, the palms facing this, stuff like that. And then sometimes just a little change in the grip and get their posture a little better where they can swing and keep their balance. And pretty soon things start to change. Because a lot of people don't have any idea about that kind of stuff.
They really don't.
No.
I mean, do most people that you've come across, I guess, most people just go out and start playing golf and then later go, maybe I should take a lesson. Or do they start with lessons?
Well, today if they start, most of the time they start, they have an idea because, it's everywhere, as far as on TV.
Sure.
The Golf Channel has it on 24 hours. So you'll find, especially if they're really interested in it.
Yeah, and YouTube has 8,000 teachers.
Yeah, you can track it.
Tens of thousands of hours.
And I can usually tell, and that's one of the questions I'll generally ask is, have you had lessons? And when was the last time you had a lesson? And then when they tell me the last time they had a lesson, I'll ask them, what did the pro work with you? Were you working on? And you'd be surprised the answers that you get, but, that kind of gives me an idea of what they may be thinking when they're trying to hit the ball.
Do you like doing playing lessons?
It depends on what level the player's at.
Okay.
If you can't hit the ball, a playing lesson doesn't do you any good.
Right,
But if you can control your shots a little bit, then a playing lesson might be. But, as far as playing, strategically, you got to have some control and be able to hit shots to get the most out of a playing lesson.
And what do you find? That fascinates me, that people don't pay attention. Like, they don't. I like to keep track of how many fairways I hit, how mm-hmm. many greens I'm hitting, how many putts that I have, which way I'm missing, right or left, whatnot. And I've been asking my playing partners and stuff about that stuff. They're like, I don't know. I don't pay attention to any of that. And so I just asked them to, like, here, just for fun today, keep track of just fairways, greens, and putts, right? And the first comment was, I couldn't believe how many times I three-putted. I had no idea that I three-putt that often. It's like, interesting.
Well, a better player can tell you how many times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you know, a novice or a beginner, and sometimes, in their case, it's not even, the score's not as important as maybe a few shots in the round. Mm-hmm. You know, geez, well, how'd you play today? Well, boy, I hit six good shots. Well, six, yeah, well, I've never hit six good shots before. You know, it's not, well, geez, I made three pars and a birdie. So everybody has a little different expectation. Sometimes it's just, geez, I got, you know, I hit it off the tee and I got the ball up in the air every time I hit it off the tee. Or I got around the green and I didn't scull it over the green into the bunker. Oh. You know, stuff. So then that leads to the other story about my friend in Chicago who was a golf pro. And he had Mrs. So-and-so come in for a golf lesson. So they got down to the driving range and he's going to give her a golf lesson. And he says, now, what do you want to work on today, Mrs. So-and-so? And she says, Louie, I need more distance. He says, well, 90% of the people that come to me for a lesson need more distance. How far do you want to hit the ball? She said, far enough to ride in a cart.
That's a great response.
So, it's not bombing it down here 150 yards. I don't want to hit it far enough that I can ride the cart to the next.
That's so hilarious.
You know, everybody has different expectations.
How often do you get people coming to you and say, I just need to work on my short game. I just need to be able to turn those three shots into two inside of 50 yards. Do people recognize that that's a huge problem for them?
That's probably the biggest fallacy in golf. You know, people are worried about how far they hit it and how straight and how far they can hit an iron. And they get around the green, they just take that for granted. And the most important yardage isn't off the tee. The most important yardage is from about 60 yards in.
Right.
And the people that can do that, they're usually players.
Well, I guess the easiest way to explain to somebody would say that your target off the tee couldn't be 50, 60 yards wide, right? Or, but when you're in that 50, 60-yard range to the hole, your target's pretty small.
Yeah, it can be, depending on where the flag stick is, too.
And that's where I see most people swearing, throwing clubs, getting angry, is against their short game, sculling it all the way across.
They don't want to take the time to work on it. And it probably takes, if you talk to good players, they probably spend twice as much time on their short game as they do on their long game.
Uh-huh.
And the ones that don't wish they had. And you hear them say that all the time. If you had to do something over, what would you do? I would hit less balls and spend more time on my short game.
Yep.
And these are the best players in the world. So you know how important that is.
Yeah. Yep.
And you can be a mediocre ball striker and have a great short game. You have a lot of people fits.
It's true. Yeah. I think that I do that. I'll spend more time, like, on the range. I'll probably spend 60 to 70% of my time just chipping and pitching.
Yeah, and the other thing
picking
is,
a target.
You know, in more today than the old days, but a lot of places didn't have short game areas in the old days.
Oh.
You know, you go back in the 50s and 60s, they had a driving range, but a lot of times they just had a practice green. You know, a lot of times they didn't have bunkers, and then if you chip to the putting green, the pro would come out and say, hey, you can't chip to that putting green. So now you're out someplace, you know, and then as time passed, then they started to build more and more facilities where you could work on your short game, because that's what the better players, you know, that's what the better players wanted. And these clubs, where all the touring pros are, they're there for a reason, because they have the whole facility.
Right.
Yeah, they have everything. Yeah.
All right, you're a storyteller. Clearly, you love to tell stories. Yeah. Tell me the best advice that you've ever received as a golfer. Not as a golf teacher.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you as a golfer. I'd never had a golf lesson when I went in the Army. So I'm playing with a first lieutenant one day, and he said, "I think that our golf pro could help your game out a lot. Would you take a lesson if I made a lesson for him?" Now, this was in Texas, and he was from Austin. So I said, "Sure." So he said, "Okay, I'm going to make a lesson for you." So he called, and he made a lesson. He said, "So you have a lesson with Harvey Penick on blah, blah, blah."
Oh, my gosh.
So I had no idea who Harvey Penick was. Didn't know.
Oh, my goodness.
So I get in my car. I'm 20 years old. And I get in my car, and I drive down to Austin Country Club and introduce myself to Mr. Penick. And we went out on the range, and I had the old hook grip, trying to make sure I hooked the ball. And so I hit a few balls, and he said, "Gary, do you have a shag bag?" Well, in those days, everybody had a shag bag. And I said, "Yes, I do, Mr. Penick." And he said, "Get your shag bag, and I'm going to meet you down around this building right here. There's a green down there, and I'm going to meet you down there." So I got my shag bag, and I walked down there, and he came down, and he said, "Now, I think you could grip the club a little better than you're gripping it now. Not to tell me I had a lousy grip, but you could do a little better with it." So he put my hands on the club, and I swung a few, and he says, "Now chip a few." And so I chipped a few, and I chipped a few, and he said, "Now that's really good. You got your grip on there." He said, "Now I'll be back in a little while, and we'll check you out." So about an hour passed, and he looked like I look now. he was an old man to me, you know, gray hair. And I'm down there chipping, I think, geez, he forgot about me. So he comes around the building, and the first thing he said was, "You thought I forgot about you." I looked at him, when I'm recalling it, it's making me laugh when I recall it. So now he says, "Show me what you're doing." So I put my, and I chipped it, and he says, "Now, what do you want to do now, Gary?" I says, "I want to go hit some balls, Mr. Penick." And he said, "Gary," he said, "how old are you?" And I said, "I'm 20 years old. And he said, "You know, you're probably going to be playing golf for 60 years. He said, "It's a lot easier to play golf with a good grip than a bad grip." He said, "So what I want you to do is I want you to go back to the fort and promise me you won't hit any balls. You just chip and pitch. And you come back in about a week, and then we'll take a look at this." Well, you know, I told him that, but I couldn't wait. But, you know, so just get the grip. And ever since then, you know, I've had the grip, and I kept the grip. But, you know, so, that's the best advice. And, I mean, I'm probably not the only one that Harvey Penick used, you know, those kind of thoughts and those kind of actions on, because, man, he turned out a ton of good. Ton of good players, and not that I was one of them, but wow. He turned out a lot of good players.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's legendary.
Yeah, he's legendary, absolutely. His little green book and his little red book, invaluable, really. But if you were looking for today's golf swings where we push up and we push down and, you know, we rotate this, you're not going to find that in the little green book. But he produced some players. So
yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Well, Gary, this has really been great to finally get a chance to meet you. Tony's talked a lot about you, and for the three of you guys, I wish you all the luck in the world on these clinics. I think you're going to do great, and anybody who's going to sign up is definitely going to walk away with some valuable insights and valuable advice. Well,
we've got a lot of time, what we say, on the rock pile. So. We probably have 150 years of teaching experience.
And also, I want to ask you, we have listeners call in and ask questions about their game and equipment and stuff. Could you be one of the teachers that answers those questions?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
that would be
absolutely
great.
Yeah. It's just, I'd be more than happy to. And anything we can do to make you a little better, we're more than happy to try it.
This episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Flavier, who wants to help you discover and experience spirits in a new and fun way. Flavier is spelled Flavier, has compiled an amazing collection of more than 15,000 spirits, and when you become a member, you receive a themed tasting box that lets you try different spirits before trying a full-size bottle, a digital home bar, access to their vault, which holds a selection of rare and hard-to-find spirits available to members only, exclusive Flavier private bottlings, access to live events where they bring together members, distillers, and other spirits enthusiasts, and of course, the Flavier app, which is like the IMDb of spirits. Once you join, you can use the app or their website to gain access to extensive information on over 15,000 bottles. The award-winning app also features the Flavor Spiral, which is an innovative visualization of tasting notes for their selections. Now, there's usually a waiting list to get into Flavier, but they like golfers because golfers seem to enjoy the finer things in life, including the finest of fine spirits. But even though there's not many opportunities to join this awesome program, they've arranged a backdoor just for us. Go to flavier.com/exclusive. And use the coupon code GOLFSMARTER when you're checking out. Flavier, again, F-L-A-V-I-A-R. That's flavier.com/exclusive. And the coupon code GOLFSMARTER during checkout. We'll put that all in the show notes, so it's just a click away. All right. Let's go ahead and give Dean Reinmuth a call and learn which two Golf Smarter listeners have won a Swing Coach Club from www.swingcoach.com.
Hello, this is Dean Reinmuth.
Hey, Dean, Fred Green, Golf Smarter Podcast.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's time to pick two more winners.
Okay, ready to roll.
Yeah, well, thank you so much again for your generosity and getting everyone behind giving a Swing Coach Club away and for also offering to help those who win them.
You got it. Anytime. My pleasure.
All right. So what I did this time was I separated it by street address. It's as random as I can get beyond first name. So you can pick two numbers.
Okay.
Two numbers between 1 and 177.
1 and 177. Okay. Let's see. 66.
Okay, hang on. Let's see where 66 is. That would be Sandy Boyd.
Congratulations, Sandy.
Yeah, and that's in, 20... actually, right here in California. Awesome.
Oh, good. And 24.
And 24 would... Stephen Lee of San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, there you go.
Very good. Well, thank you again. This has been awesome and a lot of fun, and I hope that both Stephen and Sandy enjoy their Swing Coach Club and get a lot of time to practice it over winter, and it'll definitely improve their game. You want to give them one more tip about the club, of what they could do?
Well, just I think the most important thing is to just go through. There's some online instructional things. A lot of people pick it up thinking it's a golf club. It looks like a golf club, but because the ball, you're not hitting the ball with it, there's some specifics that they should, you know, definitely go onto the website and see the little video clips. It'll show them a little bit more about how it's used and what they learned from it.
Excellent. And also, if you didn't win, we're sorry, but... it's available to you at a discount with a checkout code GOLFSMARTER. So go to www.swingcoach.com and purchase one for yourself and save with the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. Thanks again, Dean.
You bet. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays to you. And again, you're going to save 20% on this really helpful training aid. I had to look it up while he was talking. 20% on this incredibly helpful training aid with a checkout code GOLFSMARTER at www.swingcoach.com. So we're still working out the details, but in just a few episodes from now, stay tuned, we'll begin to share your answers from Tony Manzoni that have been submitted through our Golf Smarter voice line. Calls have been coming in from around the world, and it's a toll-free call for anyone and everyone who would like a little personal advice from Tony. Okay, here's a tease.
Hey, my name's Don Garner. I'm from Washington State. I got a question about, I have a terrible hit instinct. So when I go in my backswing, no matter how slowly I try to go and try to be relaxed, once I start to downswing, things get out of hand. So wondering if you had any great ideas to help calm that down. I know when I do swing slower and more relaxed, I'll usually get better results. Thanks.
Don Garner, this is Tony Manzoni from Golf Smarter, and I see you sent in a question that I think I can help you with. You're saying that you have a hit instinct all the time, especially from the top. Going back real slow is not going to help you. In fact, that will make you hit more at the ball. What you need to do, because what you're doing is you're anticipating impact, and this is something we all fight. They call it being ball bound. So when you set up to the golf ball, you have to have more of a swing thought or a rhythm thought. I tell all my students, take it back in your rhythm, because everyone has their own, and bring it back through the ball in the same speed. Don't try to speed the club head up. Keep it one speed, okay, so that the rhythms are the same. You will automatically accelerate the club at the proper time. When you try to hit at the ball, you're accelerating at the top, so by the time you get down to the ball, you're pretty well spent. So again, when you set to the golf ball, think in terms of where are you going to swing the club to? Well, let's see your finish position. Try to take the club back in a rhythm that feels comfortable and bring it through in a rhythm that feels comfortable and make sure that you complete your motion. It's more important to be thinking about your motion than impact. Impact is a happening because you completed your motion. I hope that helps you. And please, let us know how you do.
He is such a remarkable teacher. So articulate, so clear, so succinct. Anyway, well, maybe that's why his college golf team won the regional championships 29 out of 30 years. Now, for that, Don Garner from Washington State will receive a free copy of Tony's DVD, The Lost Fundamental. What about you? Are you in? Call 415-761-1498 and leave your question, and we'll get Tony to answer it for you. Also, we'll have more details about the 90-minute clinics in La Quinta, California, from the three amigos of Tony, last week's guest, Davey Evans, and today's guest, Gary Hopkins, who will also be participating in providing answers on the voicemail. Now, we've already received an email from Steve in Redlands, which is close to the Palm Springs area. You know what? Almost anywhere in Southern California, Arizona, or Las Vegas is not far from Palm Springs. So, like Steve in Redlands, if you want to get more information about the clinics, I promise you will all know very soon. Please connect with us at Golf Smarter on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And go ahead and call now with your question for Tony Manzoni to answer here on the show, and you'll receive a free copy of The Lost Fundamental on DVD. The number again, 415-761-1498. You get a sense we're trying to make this interactive with you? I've always wanted to do that. And I want to thank Joe Beyer, guitarist, songwriter, producer, golfer, and Golf Smarter listener, once again, for our custom music. You can find Joe's stuff and buy his CDs at joebeyer.com, B-E-I-E-R. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please write to Fred at golfsmarter.com or click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.